5 o'clock hour coming up. The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvia has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza.
I could use a pizza right now.
We should make one. We make one in the toaster oven here at the office.
Yeah.
Love them at home. You can find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold and bring home the best today. Connie's Pizzeria quality, no matter how you slice it.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
You know what we got to get to work on?
What do we got to do?
We got to get a Courtney Cronin theme song.
Oh, right. Let's get her input and see what she would like for us to do, and then we'll add our own little special.
Yeah, you know, like you sang the JD Open, and people love even still hearing it. And, you know, we had a great sight today as Justin Fields wore the JD Obvious shirt today.
Yep.
Courtney tweeted about that. But, yeah, she needs a theme song. I mean, I don't know. Like, she's been on ESPN 1000 now for a while. You read her on ESPN.com. But are you truly, really on ESPN 1000 until you get your own theme song like a Nick Friedel, like a JD, and like some others in the past? Would you like your own theme song, Courtney?
Oh, my gosh. I would be honored. I remember the JD theme song, and someone actually, like, brought it up to me in a tweet today about that. So, yeah, by all means, I would love to get serenaded, but I'll take even I'll just take whatever I can get, I guess.
Is there any, like, could you direct us in some way, shape, or form? Is there anything that you would like us to
like
include
an inspiration?
In it?
Yeah.
Because, like, when I did the JD thing, I was just being my normal idiot self. I walked into a room with our production guy and just started acting like an idiot.
That's okay. How about something like really ratchet and like super make you almost have to like pull over and turn the radio down? It's so loud.
Courtney's here, mother! No? Something like that?
Wait, you said turn the radio down? We don't want
because
that.
It would be so loud, it would jar you and to the point where you might actually like crash the car. Like one of those. Kind of just make sure everybody's listening and they're awake behind the wheel.
Courtney's in the house, we're talking bears!
That's perfect. That's excellent.
Keep riffing. Keep going. We can put this all together.
I just gave myself a stroke. I gave myself a mini stroke.
Everyone quiet.
I can't do it without swearing. You're going to have to bleep it. Like
I got the dump button.
I feel the need to swear right now.
Come on.
No, I know. I'm not doing it.
One more.
No, I know. This isn't a circus. I'm not an animal performing for you.
You kind of. What is that? Your Rage Against the Machine?
I don't know. I don't even know Rage Against the Machine. Courtney, see what you got yourself locked into here. You're probably regretting this right away, aren't you?
Not at all. I am so excited.
I'm going to do a hold-in until Waddle blurts out another line. So, all right, what is the deal here? Roquan's like, I'm here and I'll go to meetings, but I'm just not going to practice. Is that the case?
It sounds like it's headed that way. So everybody that we talked to today, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, even Jalen Johnson, they all acknowledged, you know, the situation at hand, which is a dispute over Roquan's contract. And I know that Poles didn't want to talk specifics, and that's fine. But, you know, him getting out ahead of this, I think, was the smart play, because it appears as of right now, these two are not close to a deal yet. And you go back to, I think it was owners' meetings when Ryan told us that he'd like to get an extension done before the start of the regular season. And so, you know, on the cusp of training camp, you see the NFL Network report that he's not going to, you know, participate at camp. But, like, the way that these things work now is when that CBA was ratified in 2020, and this had nothing to do with COVID and some of the changes that they tried to force through before that happened. The owners wanted to prevent all of the holdouts that we'd seen in previous years where players who are trying to get a new contract or, you know, an extension, and they would typically not report to camp. I mean, we saw it, I think it was 19, right, with Ezekiel Elliott. He was in Cabo the entire time.
Yeah,
that was the last big one where he stayed away from the team. And so when that CBA was pushed through in 2020, it really did eliminate what these holdouts are, just change the reasoning behind them or what they've become, because players on rookie deals get fined $40,000 a day by the team. And then players who are not on rookie deals, that goes up to $50,000 a day. And that's why last year you saw Aaron Rodgers report to training camp, because those fines don't get excused, especially for veteran players. I know there's some caveat with rookie players where it can be up to the discretion of the team, but it's not like it used to be where players can hold out, they're not there for training camp, and then everything's excused and it's all fine and dandy. It's wiped away when they get their new deals. Like, I covered Dalvin Cook's hold-in, which was kind of the first of its kind in 2020 when we had that truncated training camp in Minnesota. It was like 3 weeks because of the COVID year. And everyone knew that he was eligible for this. He was, you know, pushing for this extension. The team and his agent, they didn't agree until the 11th hour right before the Green Bay game, week one. But he would come to camp. He talked to us and said, you know, I'm going to be here. But he didn't do anything when he was there. He would do stuff off to the side with, you know, one of the running backs coach. He would go through stretching. He'd even dress out in his jersey and everything. But you don't put yourself in a situation to get injured when you don't have the deal that you want. So I would anticipate that Roquan Smith, when we're out there for practice tomorrow, and granted, it's going to be, you'll be able to tell, like, how much is he actually doing when the pads come on and what he's a part of versus what he's not. And I anticipate he won't be a part of really anything that has contact. You know, we won't be able to tell until then, but I can't see a situation where he would not be exercising this option, because you'd be missing out on a lot of money by not showing up, which is why I think both he and Robert Quinn were there today when they reported.
So if he doesn't practice and he does do what you've seen in the past and you explained, how does this end? Is the only ending them coming to an agreement on a long-term deal, or could this end by the Bears saying, look, we're not paying you, and Roquan comes back just because he's got to get ready? Or could they even could this end with a trade? Like, are all scenarios open at this point?
You know, I mean, I'll start with the trade one. It just doesn't feel like that's the logical solution here, because of how the franchise has talked about him, how he has talked about wanting to be in Chicago long term. And also, he's a building block for this defense. The building blocks have changed. It's guys like him, Jalen Johnson, you know, the two rookie second rounders that they drafted this year. It's not the building blocks of old. So he's the best player on the team. I don't think you can argue that. It makes sense to keep him in the fold for long term. And I can see, I mean, and guys too, also, like with the CBA, like, you don't want to lose the accrued season that you would be getting towards free agency if you held out longer than like a specific amount of time. So if let's say this holdout would go deep into training camp and we're like, man, is he going to miss week one? I don't feel like that would be realistic, because there's a certain threshold where you would lose your accrued season towards free agency, and that would really hurt you as a young player if you didn't want to be with the Bears anymore and if you were trying to go somewhere else, because, you know, you'd be putting yourself a year behind the eight ball. So I imagine this thing will go on for a little bit of time until they can get closer on a figure. He's going to make $9.7 million this year on the final year of his rookie deal. We know he's worth more than that. He knows he's worth more than that. You see the deals that, like, Darius Leonard just signed not that long ago. That's probably the category that he falls in, earning somewhere in that $20 million a year range. And I just feel like the franchise is going to have to figure out a way to make their star player, like their most important player on the roster, happy.
With that said, Courtney, what do you think of this? Like, I get the feeling, and you're there, I'm not, but I'm just kind of supposing that because it's a new regime, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, but if they feel they give him a legitimate offer, let's say 5 years, $90 million, it's not quite what Leonard got. It may not be quite what Fred Warner got from the 49ers, but it's what they feel he's worth. And he wants significantly more than that. I get this feeling that they're like, okay, we gave you an offer. We're a new regime. We're not going to be held hostage here. If you don't want to play for it, don't play for it. We're building something here. Am I reading this? Is there potentially some accuracy to me reading it that way?
You know, I wouldn't rule anything out at this point, but I also think that, you know, if you're a new regime and you're trying to build things your way, build the culture your way, and shift the organization away from what you felt, you know, was problematic last year, I don't think that irritating the best player and alienating the best player on your team is the way to do that. Like, he certainly deserves what, you know, we all are kind of like, you know, hypothesizing is the class of linebacker that he'd fall into, which is that double digit, you know, anywhere upwards like $19, $20 million player a year. I just can't see. I mean, Ryan Poles has put out, I wrote this, he put out a lot of fires this offseason, whether it's players getting arrested, whether it's botching the Larry Ogunjobi, having that thing get botched right before it even began. They've had a lot of missteps along the way. This one, to me, feels like it would be them actually stepping in their own way, not something that was out of their control, if they don't get this one done. If they want to draw the line in the sand like that with a player who, as far as we know, still represents himself, that's a really, really tricky thing to do. Like, that's why when you're seeing, you know, Lamar Jackson, for example, and how delicately Baltimore's handling this, you... The reason so many guys have agents is to take the, you know, it's to put the middleman in so you don't have to deal with it. You can't afford, if you're the organization, to try to negotiate with a player directly the way that you would with their agent. It's just like arbitration in baseball. Like, that's teams trying to, you know, pay the lowest amount of money and pointing out all the areas where a player is deficient. Like, you can't do that to the player himself when you're negotiating with him, because that steps the bounds where that's it. It gets too emotional if it's like that. Like, you've got to take the emotion out of the negotiation, which is why they're in such a tough spot if they're negotiating with the player himself. And, you know, I know it's a different front office, but this is a player who also held out a couple years ago when he was a rookie because of the helmet, the contact rule. He didn't want the team to go after his guarantees if he got suspended for, you know, when the new rules came into play with, like, helmet and, like, leading with the head and all the contact stuff. So he's smart. He's savvy. He knows, like, how to protect himself in that sense. So I think that they've got to be very cautious in the way that they negotiate this thing in order not to, you know, open up a can of worms that they can't eventually put back in.
Courtney, you know Riley Reiff well, having covered him in Minnesota. What do the Bears get in signing him?
A veteran who's played, I think he's had like 140-something starts. Like, you know, it was interesting when Reiff left Minnesota. Like, he was one of the most consistent players that they had on the offensive line. That was just like a game of musical chairs ever since I got there in 2017. And, you know, I think the writing was on the wall with his salary cap. Like, it was, he wouldn't take a pay cut. And so it was a cap casualty ahead of free agency last year. But I was a little surprised that when he signed with Cincinnati, he went back to playing right tackle. So I think that's a good thing, because usually guys are going after, you know, the money that you get as a left tackle. Right tackle is becoming a more lucrative position, but it's not, certainly not left tackle money. But, you know, Reiff can play both. So I think the Bears looked at their situation with their left tackle spot, realizing very clearly now that, you know, Tevin Jenkins isn't that guy, because you don't start in, you know, even in minicamp, even in OTAs, the amount of reps that Braxton Jones, who's a fifth round rookie, got, I think is considerable. But I also think that the Bears are smart enough to know you can't trust, you can't just leave everything in the hands of a rookie to protect the blind side of your quarterback. You're expecting to make somewhat of a jump, a significant jump, even at that this year. So it was a smart move. Reiff is out there. There's still a couple other veterans. I wrote about this the other day. Like, this, like, there's not going to be any sort of move that they make that's going to drastically change the outcome of the season, drastically change the makeup of the roster. But this one made sense. And I don't think, I mean, you can look at that figure, you know, 1 year up to $12.5 million. It's not going to be that expensive to have him here. It's very incentive-laden contract. And that's, you know, for Reiff coming off of an ankle injury last year, he's 33 years old. I think it was probably a good fit for him to be able to find a place where he could start right away. So you anticipate there probably will be some position battle, but I would think Riley Reiff had the inside track to starting at one of those tackle spots. And if I had to put my money on it, probably the left tackle spot.
Interesting. And he's getting $10 million, right? Isn't that what they paid him? Guaranteed
that's,
$10
million? Those are like the likely to be earned. So, like, I haven't seen the contract details, but a lot of that's based on playing time, and, you know, snap count. Like, I remember in Minnesota, it was actually, I think, something that kind of left a sour taste between the organization and the players, that he had, he missed the last game in 2020 due to COVID. And he had incentives in his contract about playing a certain number of games, and he didn't get that, which was really a bummer, I think, for him and just kind of the way that things ended there. But yeah, I mean, it's not like you're paying a whole ton of money. It's a 1-year deal, and it's a smart deal because the last 24 hours, as Matt Eberflus said, like, they feel a lot better about what their offensive line looks like because they were really thin. There were two positions that you were probably sure about, but, you know, how excited are you? I mean, it was Lucas Patrick and Cody Whitehair. Like, that's, those are probably the only two that are mostly solidified along the O-line, but injuries happen. You know, they're going to be they said they wanted to try different combinations. And even Matt Eberflus has pointed out, there's no deadline on trying to figure out what your starting five is, but sooner rather than later is the goal. And I feel like they got a little closer to that with these two signings the last couple of days.
Bears report today. Courtney Cronin is joining us right now, covering it all. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Where does the Robert Quinn thing go? Because I'm scared as a Bears fan that he plays this year, he's not as productive, and they don't get as much for him at the trade deadline. Do you believe there could be a deal here in the preseason?
You know, we've heard these trade rumors for a while, and, like, publicly, the team has been adamant that they don't want to trade him, and obviously that helps your trade value. You're not going to say, yeah, we're ready to move him, because then you're going to get lowballed. So I can understand the logic that Ryan Poles is using in talking about Robert Quinn the way that it has been, you know, relayed to us. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it kind of feels like with this one, you don't, like, that's the thing with minicamp too. Like, that was a mandatory minicamp. You get fined for not being there. He didn't have an excused absence. So he very clearly, to the player, probably thought he was getting traded. So it's going to be interesting to see if and when we hear from Quinn during training camp. What was the logic behind that thought process? And now that you're here, how do you go about this knowing that, like, you know, you run the risk of injury? You know, I just feel like there really wasn't anybody who was biting on this during the draft, certainly, and then the rest of, you know, the offseason that we've had the last couple months. He stayed put for a reason, probably because the asking price is still higher than other teams are wanting to pay, and they're probably trying to call Chicago's bluff a little bit and wait until they can get that price that maybe it's not a third round draft pick that we've all been theorizing, maybe get that down before getting Robert Quinn and seeing if Poles is willing to part with Robert Quinn and Matt Eberflus too.
Winning a press conference really doesn't equate to winning games, but how did you feel Justin Fields presented himself today, Courtney?
I think it was a good press conference from him. I mean, it's interesting at this time of year, too, like where we had heard him like last time in June when he said, no, I'm not ready to play a game right now. And I think some people ran with that comment and, you know, put up the ante on, oh, my gosh, this guy isn't completely locked in. He's Justin Herbert's out there talking about, I wish I could play football every day and all this other stuff. But, you know, it was interesting. I think he was asked by John Greenberg, it's kind of like people don't really know what to expect from you this year. Do you listen to that? Do you have something to prove? You know, how do you handle the critics? And I think he had a really interesting and a thoughtful answer that, you know, he's not trying to prove anything to anyone. His job is to win games and, you know, first and foremost, to get this team to the playoffs. I think he's pretty savvy in knowing just what the expectations are for him in the second season and not trying to put any cart before the horse here in setting himself up for failure by saying he's going to do something and then falling short of it. And you know, the failure part is interesting too. He talked about that nobody loves failure. Nobody wants to fail, and he doesn't consider his rookie season a failure, but you have to be all in on the whole process because otherwise you're just not going to be you're not going to be a complete football player because there's a lot of failure that comes with being good. And I thought he gave a good example about, he threw that interception. It was, I think it was the semifinal game against Clemson in 2019 when he was at Ohio State. And he said, like, he remembers that, and that kind of spurred them the next season. That was the motivating force that they needed to go on his second season at Ohio State and take a step further. So he gave some really good insight today, just kind of on, at least at the mindset, but the big picture mindset, before we start talking about position battles, before we start talking about, you know, what his connection's like with some of these newer receivers, of just like where his mindset is going into a second training camp and how different it feels knowing that he doesn't have to be looking over his shoulder or even trying to get himself in the mix to be the starting quarterback. But this is his team, and he knows that.
Yeah. Anything, what insight can you give our listeners about what the week looks like now? Where are we going? When are we going to start seeing some stuff at practice?
Yeah, so tomorrow is a 10 a.m. practice. It's the first one. Usually the first couple of days are not in pads, so it'll be good to kind of see what attendance is, see who's on the NFI, who's on the pup list. Like, Poles told us initially that he didn't think anybody was going to be on, but then he came down and corrected that because not everybody had checked in. So it'll be interesting to see if they do have players that won't be part of, like, the early on in training camp, and that we have to wait to see what happens for them as it gets closer to 53 cut. But, you know, practices are every day, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Those are the 10 a.m. practices, and they have their break on Sunday. So by next week, they'll be in pads, and that's when you can truly start to look at these offensive line combinations and figure out, okay, what's working, what's not, how do these guys look when they're going against it, the pass rushers that they'll face in practice throughout the season. That's when we can start to drill down these storylines a little bit more.
Great stuff, Courtney. We appreciate it. Thanks,
Courtney.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Go work on my theme song.
Right, you got it. I'm going to start talking to myself driving home tonight and see what I can come up with.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Courtney. Can you do anything with that, Meller? Can you workshop with what Waddle was blurting out earlier?
Yeah, I think that's a starting point, and maybe we can get into the studios and try and put something together as well. Maybe make it a team effort.
Okay,
yeah,
sure. Give me lines. Give some
background vocals.
Well, you have to come up with them yourself, bro.
Yeah. It was a good – she gave a great explanation on how this hold-in has occurred. Like, it's not just a new way – since T.J. Watt, there was a reason why, and it was because of the new collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, it's a way to save yourself from being fined.
There's no more holdouts, really.
Right,
so,
of course.
Really good stuff there. If you want to react to any of the Bears stuff, 312-332-3776. If you're watching on Twitch, brought to you by the Jim Irsay Collection Company. You see, I'm wearing my Ode to Soldier Field today. South parking lot. I put Dome Ready on it earlier today.
Because you are Dome Ready.
I'm always Dome Ready. Yeah. You got to wake up and you got to be Dome Ready. If you have any stadium thoughts, Bears thoughts, 312-332-3776. Yeah, this topic comes up every so often, and it's really weird.
It is very weird.
We got to get into that. And speaking of weird, we've got to go through Would You Rather, all of that coming up next.
Happy Dinger Tuesday. Go Yard all summer long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Chicago White Sox. It's Randy Merkin here. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run hit. The Cubs are hosting the Pirates, elect Patrick Wisdom to hit a dinger tonight. He's plus 320, and on the road tonight, the Rangers are taking on the Mariners. I like Marcus Semien at home run as well. So, White Sox fans, what are you waiting for? Pick your home run hitter and turn big swings into big wins. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than in America's number one sportsbook. Head over to FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code MERK. That's promo code MERK, M-E-R-K. Must be 21 plus in Pleasant, Illinois. Bonus issue is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $25. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG.
Miss a show? All your saves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Lil Kev inside Twitch was wondering, where would you rather go? I'm like, 5:30. We had to move it because I wanted to play the Wilson Contreras interview. Cubs did win today. 6 in a row for the Cubbies. Hey. They're participating again.
Hey what?
They're participating again.
11 games back of the wild card?
Waddle and Merkin.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, girl!
And it was probably Ian Happ and Wilson Contreras' final home game in a Cubs uniform.
Did you check on your mom at the break?
I did not. No? I'm going to call her on the way home.
Yeah, see how she's doing.
Okay.
I mean, seriously. It's meaningful.
She's been live texting the show today.
I know.
She enjoyed Odie Kirk.
See what she's doing. Is she okay?
About the
just did she feeling. Cry? Did she cry? I'm sure she watched the game today. Did she cry Wilson cried?
Not. I hope not.
Why? I mean, don't tell her to hold in her emotions. If she feels like bawling her eyes out,
all right.
Because Willie's leaving
Go
via
ahead.
Trade,
Go
then,
ahead,
then cry, Barb, cry.
What do you, so we're buying Mega Million tickets.
I don't know.
And then we'll
Are
get
we?
To Would You Rather.
Are we? Are we buying Mega Million tickets? I'll stop at the gas station on the way home.
We made a pact as a show and as a group upstairs in the pre-show.
What do they call this? What is the acronym you're doing? You want to miss out on something? What is everyone?
FOMO. Yeah.
Fear of missing out.
This is all cool kids. We took this a step further. And Meller brought up the point. Like, again, we never buy Mega Millions tickets, or I shouldn't say everybody. Some people do, but it doesn't get our attention.
Until it gets to be 900 million. It gets my attention. Like, a good $300 or $400 million win is fine by me, too.
I know.
It's the dumbest concept of all that I'm not going to get involved until it gets to be a billion.
What's our number? Like, when we get to $250 million, is that when we start to, like...
I think it starts with a six.
Really?
Yeah.
So only it needs to be more than half a billion for Tyler.
Well, that's when I feel like people start talking about it.
I think you're right. I think it's got to be over $500 million.
For what?
For people to start talking about it. Like, it's getting the headlines. Like, I don't even know when Mega Millions are.
It's Tuesday nights tonight, brother.
Tuesday nights? Is it multiple
Tuesday
times?
And Saturday? So does this mean that everybody is Juan Soto? We need $500 million before we're even, like, going to consider it.
Yeah, then, like, what states is that? I don't even know how the lotteries run these days. Is this...
Just give me $20.
Is this for everybody? Is this across the country?
Yes.
Are there only certain states that participate in
Maybe
Mega Millions?
Some. Your odds, I saw someone, your odds of winning this is like 1 in 300 some million.
Someone's got to win, though.
Of course.
Eventually.
Yes.
They don't have to win this time because it may roll over again. But we used to buy as a show, and then it would be the FOMO where you would be forced to give the 20 or the 40 or whatever.
Oh, this is me completely. I hate playing the lottery. In fact, I don't believe I've ever played the lottery if it wasn't in a group context. I refuse to buy it on my own, but
Why do you refuse? Because it's a losing proposition?
Correct. Because, you know, I'm Mr. Probabilities over here, and I hate to just... I feel like it's a waste of my money. However...
Okay, well, you don't need to participate.
That's the point.
We will give you a $100,000 guarantee you can buy out.
No.
He doesn't want to be the guy in the Waddle's World story that says... Jeff Meller was the one who decided to withhold his money from the group.
His
Meantime,
booby.
Tom Waddle, Tyler Aki, and Mark Silverman are all going to split $160 million.
Tom Waddle, Mark Silverman, and Tyler Aki will be spending their
rest
free
of their
time
lives
on the
away
island
from here
sipping margaritas.
Yeah. Right.
While Meller's still at
ESPN. Meller's trying 1000. To give me fantasy football advice on a Sunday morning.
And then this is how I've tried to increase my odds. I told the guys, other than the group tickets, I don't think we ever bought those group tickets. But, like, say Waddle
Not
goes
yet.
Today and he stops at the gas station on the way home. Tyler goes down the street. He buys tickets. Merkin was involved. Zetterman was involved. Any amount. I said, everyone in this room, let's make a pact. If any of us win, the other people in this room get $250,000. And we've all agreed.
And then you have to make sure you show us that you actually purchased tickets tomorrow.
Oh, is that that?
Well, I would say that, you know, you can't just say, yeah, guess what, guys? We're all going to kick in. And if you win, I get 250 grand. Well, you've got to also buy tickets.
Okay, when's the drawing? When does a...
Tonight
at like 9?
11. Or wait, this might be... No, so it's tonight at 10.
10 o'clock.
This is what I mean.
Eastern.
Like, there are all these different rules now. Is Mega Millions...
There's not really that many rules.
Well,
they draw at 10 o'clock tonight.
Is Mega Millions the NFL of the lottery? Like,
there's
how many
Powerball as well. There's
right,
the two big ones. Powerball and Mega Millions. And either one can be way jacked up in terms of if nobody wins.
Do we still have a local one where, like, the state of Illinois, only people in Illinois can play?
I'm sure. Besides the Illinois lottery. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, don't they have a
You want me to go get you some scratch-off tickets, too? Will that satiate your desire to be gambling on the lottery? Is that what you want?
Scratch-off guy. But I was, like Meller said on WGN, like, ooh, the lottery's on now. We got to tune in. Let's go. Get your tickets out.
Nancy Kohlmeier or whoever it was. Is that who used to do it?
She was
a presenter, too. Like, she would kind of, like...
She ran that thing.
And the next number is...
Yeah, she soothed you and she,
enticed you.
I have to admit, when I was...
Into winning.
When I was, like, 11, 12 years old, I was mesmerized by the lotto machines and the balls being sucked up. And
we should buy one and just bring it in here just to get our you-know-what's going.
And here they come.
Yeah. We've talked around this. What's the deal? Like, you have severe FOMO. So...
Oh, not me. No.
Well, I mean, that's why you said, hey, if you... Well, that's FOMO, your fear of missing out if somebody else wins.
No, it's just odds increasing. Like, if we're not included, we'll buy as a show unit. But say your wife buys tickets, or told Allie to go out and buy tickets.
Yeah.
If my tickets win, and you've purchased your own tickets... And we win.
I would not
expect
you to. We
will give you $250,000.
Okay.
You went to, well, that's
no, the, I'm saying yeah.
That's
but the, I wouldn't expect it. Like, if Allie's went out and bought tickets and you guys won through Allie's tickets, I wouldn't expect you to give us anything.
This is the point of the agreement. I expect you to give me $250,000 if Carl wins. What's the point of the agreement otherwise?
I'd be like... Now, who was the guy that jumped out of the airplane with all the money and you never saw him again?
Tax-free. You're getting my taxes, too. So it's
what do you mean I'm getting your taxes?
Well, I want $250 in the clear.
Sylvie's covering your taxes.
And this is what I would do. I'll take $250,000 and put it into an account that I give you an ATM card for, and you can access that money however you want, circumventing the tax laws. So I would have people making sure that they'll be out on the lookout for you.
Nice. That's terrible.
Maybe you could go to the Illinois Governor Mansion Correctional Facility, wherever they have
that. It's called an IRS trap.
Where you can play golf and all you want, and you eat dinners and stuff, but you're still in jail.
I got to stop and get tickets. Do you have a strategy on where you get your tickets?
I will if you want me to. If you guys want to give me the cash, I'll go into the gas station on the way home and purchase them for everyone. Or if you'd like to be the gopher, you can do it, and I'll give you money. Whatever you want.
I'm not going. I mean,
do you want me to do it? I'll do it.
It's a lot of responsibility.
How much you want to give?
It's a lot of responsibility.
Not really. Hey, can I get $100 worth of quick picks on Bag of Millions?
Zetterman and Merkin are in this too, right? Because we discussed it with them in the room, and they both wanted in.
What are we doing a man here? $40 a man, $50 a man, $20 a man?
Yeah, I think $20 a man for a proposition that you've got a 1 in 300 million chance to win. $20 is good enough for me.
I would rather do this than another $20 on the Sox and the run line tonight.
There you go. Yeah, who's pitching tonight?
Wait a second.
They've got momentum.
They got
the magical momentum built by the White Sox.
That's the new song.
That's going to roll. Here's a roll. If we win this thing tonight, I will roll back into the office tomorrow. I will high-five you guys. I will tell you where you can contact me when I actually cash in on these tickets. I will find a way to get the money to you guys. But sayonara, MFers. Just saying.
Allie said we have our family tickets. So you're in. If we win, all you guys get $250,000.
I'm going to make my stake. You're all getting a million.
I like that, I mean,
it's
Tyler.
It's $810 million.
I know, but remember...
Well, after taxes, it'll take the one time.
And what if four different people...
What's $4 million?
No, but what if four different people win the... You still may have to split the ultimate pot.
Okay, oh, my God. What am I going to do with $100 million? I'll never be able to make it.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying you're not going
to
make it.
I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying I am. A million apiece.
A million.
Wait a second. You can't make... T- Tyler.
I didn't make him. He volunteered.
Come on, dude. It's the spirit of the game here. You can't allow him. We've got to come to terms on this. It can't be, I'm giving you guys 250. And Tyler's going to give us a million. You either give everyone's in this together
right.
on the same.
We had all agreed. I initially said 100 grand to everyone, and someone said, look, let's make it 250.
Take it easy, Mr. Candy Bar. Let's go, yeah. Cool. I like Tyler's. Let's everyone gets a million.
Everyone gets a million.
Everyone gets a million. Everyone gets a million.
What about Abdallah? He's in the room right now. Does he get a million?
You want in? Have you bought tickets, Abdallah?
He's getting a
million. Yeah. Are you in?
Baby needs a new pair of shoes.
Damn right. Jordan's too.
Are you in? You giving money in for a team?
I'll buy some tickets, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Am I purchasing these?
Do you want to purchase?
You're the yes.
I can give you the money.
I would like you to, because I don't feel good about the responsibility of having to purchase said ticket.
It's just, I mean, it's
I know,
like,
I'm just saying, it's a lot of pressure.
I'm not a mule hauling heroin over the
You look a lot more like Clint Eastwood these days than you care to admit.
And you know Meller's going to win the lottery, and he's going to skip town.
Oh, hell, I don't even have $20. I got six bucks on me.
Eventually, I'm good for it.
All right, everyone needs to give me $20.
Okay, here.
I don't have cash. You got Venmo?
I'll take care of you. No, I don't have Venmo. I'll take care of you. I got your $20.
Venmo. Chase okay? QuickPay. Zelle. I got something like that.
No, and then that stuff is, I don't want people. No.
Can we read a few would you rathers here so we could give away some
little money? I've got your money.
Greg Olson here.
I got Abdallah's money. Is Black in this or is he not?
Hello, this is Dick Enberg.
Meller, I need your 20.
Would you like to play a little? Would you rather?
Oh, my.
Venmo, you don't.
I don't want that Venmo. I want $20.
I literally don't have a $20 bill on me.
There's you want me to spot you 20?
Yes. Can you spot me?
I'll
hit you back
20.
Tomorrow. I promise.
Okay.
You know what? I paid for coffee today, too.
We'll give you $999,000.
No, it was $20.
Okay, well, why do I have to pay for everyone's coffee?
No, you don't have to. I'm just saying.
Hey, let's get this together here. What are we doing?
We're making money.
Let's get the show back.
Would I rather get my money from these guys or have someone ask me a silly question? I'd rather get my money from these guys. There's your first would you rather.
Pay that man his money.
I got $20. I got seven guys who want lottery tickets. I got $40.
I gave you my money.
You did. You're in.
Yes, I'm in.
I got. You need. I need. You got an IOU.
Yeah. Quick pay guy over
I'm
here.
I'm in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
People on Twitch bucks. Want in too.
No. You can't open it
it's
up to
going
that.
Too far. Now.
No. Yeah.
All right, boys.
Yeah.
Lil Cav wants to know: would you rather win the Mega Millions and have to go to prison for a month, or would you rather win nothing but don't go to prison?
I'm not going to prison.
Oh, I'd rather win Mega Millions. I'll do a month for Mega Millions.
You'll never be the same. You may never come out of prison. You may never get to spend any of that money.
Like, say you get the entire pot. $900 million, you just said. Yeah. You wouldn't take, hey, Waddle, go serve a month in prison for $900 million.
Well, you're not getting $900 million again.
$450 million.
You're not getting $450 because you got to get taxes and then the one-time payoff.
$300 million.
I'm not going to jail.
You're
I've been consistent with this.
You're not going to jail for a month. I'll do it.
Okay, you be our guy.
I'll risk it.
Our jail guy.
Okay.
Tony wants to know, would you rather live in your favorite TV series or your favorite movie?
TV series that lasts longer. Recurring role on a really good TV series than being in the one movie.
I don't know. What am I doing in there? Just
you're existing?
Just
living in that universe of people.
Yeah, what's like, because Sylvie, like if your TV series is Breaking Bad, man, you're dodging bullets every week.
That's pretty cool, though. But I mean,
is it
your real life? You're living in the series or you're an actor?
Or do you
want to
be
series?
Running from a dinosaur in the Jurassic Park movie?
You're living in the series? Well, you have a longer life on a series than you do in a 2-hour movie.
That one's not winning it.
No, it's too confusing.
Would you rather be able to travel in time or stop time?
That's a great one. I'd rather stop time. Now, this means, like, we don't age then. Like it would always be 5:43 right now on Tuesday.
Yeah, but I took it as, like, you freeze time. Is that incorrect thinking? Like, you stop time, but you, like, freeze it, and you can, like, adjust things.
Your boys will be 6 and 8 forever.
You get to go rob a bank or do something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or your kids are 6 and 8 for the rest of time.
I'd be okay with that, though. I mean,
I would rather be able to travel.
I don't know, Sylvie, no days
time
off.
Travel.
It's a long, long time.
I'd rather be able to time travel.
time travel as opposed to freezing time. If everyone's doing their stuff and we're just and we're not aging and we could continue to live and not age, I'd rather do that. But I don't know if that's a part of the question. So I guess time travel.
You just confuse the hell out of me.
Time travel is confusing.
That's fair.
It's a very confusing
Merkin's in.
Phenomenon.
He's good for 20. Black, you in? No.
You're not going in on the lottery? You're not going in on the show?
Did he say sure?
Said sure. He's in.
Okay. So Black said.
You forced him to. Whether he likes it.
I don't force him. Like, it's up to you. I'm not forcing you to give me $20 for the lottery.
Give me another one.
Would you rather have Lamar Jackson or Derek Carr?
Lamar Jackson's younger. He's going to play longer.
It's really good. It's a really good question.
That's a really good question. I would probably, I'll take Lamar Jackson.
He's shown you a higher high
in
a singular season.
Been an MVP. He's 24, right?
I'll go that way, too.
Yeah.
Give me the MVP, a young MVP. Derek Carr is going to be an interesting year for Derek Carr. With all those weapons, Waller and Renfro and Devontae Adams and the guys they have in the backfield.
Josh Jacobs.
I think they have Kenyon Drake, too. I think they have a good offensive. Yeah.
But they have a hellacious division,
It is. You're right.
How's their O-line? Their O-line was a little bit sketchy last year, wasn't it?
Well, the biggest thing was their defense made them chase every single game.
The defense isn't as good. All right, that's pretty good. Anything else?
Would you rather be able to laugh at inappropriate times and have to, or have to sing whenever someone claps?
Like you can't control your laughter and you're laughing.
You can only laugh at inappropriate times.
I don't want that.
Yeah, no. Like you're at a funeral and you're.
I'll sing when you clap.
Me too. It's good. It's a joyous when you're clapping. Yeah.
I love a parade.
Why that one?
I could think of.
All right, there you go. Do you like one, Waddle? Who would you like to give the pizza to?
What was Little Kev's?
He started
out Millions or prison.
There you go. I like
all right,
that.
Good
old school one.
Yeah, you get the
prison little or something else.
All right, coming up next, we'll crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course, home of the $39 Wednesday special. That includes golf in a cart. For tea times, go to golfsanctuary.com.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle has turned into my sons today. Like, earlier today, he was doing the fart sound with his armpit.
Sorry to interrupt you. These two are getting
Wow, they're
these
making
two are
out.
At it. Get it.
They're making
it
out. They're having a makeout
session.
Fell off.
Goodbye, Wilson Contreras.
All right.
Two Cubs fans.
Hot
and heavy. Smash or no smash?
Do you guys cry?
What does that mean?
Oh, yeah, smash or no
smash.
My
mom was very upset. Watch out, Black.
It's on Cap and J Hood. Smash or no smash. Each and every day. You know, because you're riding the CTA bus, you're going down the street, and the bus driver turns around and says, "Did you pay your fare?" And then it starts to get hot and heavy, and then you start smashing on the avocados. I'm telling you. Captain J.
I could not be any more lost than I am.
You got to listen to Captain Company. It's our new morning show. Captain J. Hood, it's our new morning show.
I know that.
Are they really doing I listen quite a bit. They do smash or no smash?
They do something like that, yeah. Yeah, Shay does it.
It's like the no deal thing, right?
Yeah.
Deal breakers.
It's a part of deal breakers.
Deal breakers.
That's where the joke comes from.
I like the would you game. So are you actually going to go buy us tickets, or did you just pocket $120?
Yeah, that's who I am.
That's a good
ass. That's who I am.
I don't know. Times are tough, man.
Ass. You're just
an ass.
Interest rates are going up, man.
I don't know. Well, that doesn't mean that I'm going to take your $20 and rob you. Like, robbery
is
not my thing.
Are you
going to
send us pictures of the tickets?
If you'd like.
Well, I just want to know the numbers. Don't you want to know the numbers?
I'll let you know what the numbers are.
Do you pick numbers, or
yes,
do you...
need the cross-reference.
This is all quick picks.
Just quick picks? Okay.
Yeah. All quick picks.
Okay.
You think I'm going to sit in there and punch numbers out at the gas station?
I used to do the Bulls lineup. Like another, thousand people used to do. It was the worst strategy ever. I'd go 23, 33, 54, 5...
I think symbolically, I do think that Black
Jordan
is correct.
Jordan, Pippen, Urlacher, and Paxson were your go-tos?
No, it was Horace Grant back in the day. It was Scotty, Horace.
I think we should symbolically take a $20 bill out on State Street and light it on
fire.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And then you'd add one off the bench, maybe a 10 for BJ
Armstrong.
Are
you still talking about whose numbers you would put together to try the lottery?
Would you play the lost numbers? Or do you think those are actually bad luck?
What were the lost numbers again?
Eight? No, crap. I used to know
this. So long ago. This
17,
is what, 20 years
13,
ago, right?
17.
What do you mean the lost numbers?
Numbers. Eight? Someone in the Twitch chat has got it for sure, but I'll get it here real quick.
What were the numbers symbolic of?
4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. Yep.
What was that for?
They had to punch them in, or else the under sort of lost. Like they had meetings.
Okay.
I will not watch that series.
You guys have turned me on to a lot of good ones.
You don't need to. There's a thousand episodes because it was network TV.
I am on The Wire season 2 episode 10, and I'm loving it. And I'm all good with that right now.
Really quick before we resume our conversation, let's give away another pair of VIP tickets to the ESPN Football Fest. Brand new. You could sign up online for free. There is no cover charge. Adam Schefter confirmed that he's going. So is Field Yates. You will see him at the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. So check that out. ESPNFootballFest.com to sign up. We've got the VIP tickets where you get admission early, a meet and greet with everyone there, all your favorites from ESPN Chicago. You also get the free food and beverage. 312-332-3776, caller 20. One other programming note, we are out in Lake Zurich on Friday drinking ice cold Miller Lite at Chasers. So join us at Chasers. Speaking of shows, did you hear Bob Odenkirk today from Better Call Saul?
I'm caught up except for yesterday.
He was great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I caught up except for yesterday.
It's a unique episode.
Well, we don't have a curveball.
We don't have AMC, so we had to get it on Amazon, and you don't get the episodes till the next day.
Okay.
On Amazon.
It's a curveball. So. It surprised me.
I know what it is. Like, I saw the... Some clip. Like, I know what happens. Like, I don't know what happens, but I know that it's a...
Yeah.
Some clips. You hear what you want to hear, man. You're weird.
And are you decommitting from your commitment to the lottery pool?
What commitment? I don't play the lottery.
No, he didn't make a commitment.
He said he was out.
Going
with
it. Yeah,
he doesn't. He doesn't move on with the segment.
That's what
he doesn't engage with the hillbillies. Okay?
Well, no, I just think you're just throwing money away.
Of course,
no one ever wins the lotto.
No doubt. And so is betting on the Bears to win a Super Bowl. It's all throwing money away.
Let the record show. If you guys win on this, congratulations. That's great.
Won't you kick yourself for the rest of your life?
No, because I've never played the lotto and I don't want to play it. I wouldn't kick myself. I'd be happy for you.
You come over to my house whenever
you want. You're a better man than me.
My big house.
I'd say no. Yeah, stuff will happen. I don't care. I'm not jealous. I'm not envious.
I'll be fine.
I've got more than enough.
Good for you. I want more. And if I win $900 million amongst my buddies, I will your congratulations. I will shake your hand.
When no one wins, do we rebuy?
Maybe the last time you ever see me.
You know from Real Cities ever wins this. It's always Gertrude and Dubuque.
Yeah, right.
Who's like 450 pounds. No shame. She likes to eat.
Time out. I don't think any one of us is anticipating winning.
Oh, I am.
I am.
But you gotta be in it to win it, bro.
I don't make bets to not win them.
This isn't a bet.
It is, essentially.
It's
gambling.
Yeah, it's not a bet.
This is roulette. This is gambling.
No, gambling, betting is actually, you're actually trying to think that you can work some stuff out. This is just a shot in
the dart. This is throwing a dart.
So you guys are all not showing up tomorrow. You're going to win. If I win, I'll be here. Tyler, are you here tomorrow?
it's a farewell.
Jeff, you coming in?
I'll White Sox Rocky, so I will not be here tomorrow.
I got to turn in my badge and my headphones. Isn't that how it works here?
I mean, if you win the lotto, I don't think it matters. Doesn't matter?
No, I'm coming in to shake your hand and receive your congratulations.
You can do that at my house. You just come over to my house.
Thank
you.
We're
going to walk by Chris. This is very good.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy working from 12 all the way up until midnight.
Are Carmen Yurkin on this too? Because
it's our new morning show, Bleck and Company, followed by our new midday show, Bleck and Yurko, followed by our new afternoon show, Bleck and Company, and then followed by the best of Bleck and Company.
Just standing around,
leading you
to
into White Sox baseball.
Everyone else quit because they won the lotto.
I'm so glad I didn't jump into that pool with those guys because the lottery sucks.
All right, coming up next, we'll take calls. Did you miss out on the lotto?
Please call because I have no voice left.
Does the lottery suck, yes or no? All right. Thank you.
We're going to win! Bob, I feel it!
Bob Odenkirk, Barstool Bedcat, Courtney Cronin, Black and Abdallah coming up next. Great work by Jeff Meller and Tyler
Guys,
Hockey.
This has been fantastic. I wish Good you all
you.
Well.
Yeah, I'll see you on the golf course.
For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. Go Mega Millions! It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.